The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, encouraged us to strive for uprightness by seeking assistance in the early mornings, late afternoons, ar-rawha, and something of the depths of the night. From this tradition, the scholars made it a habit to briefly read texts of religious guidance in the late afternoon, and often term such readings the daily rawha. The term refers to the late afternoon, but also to a time of rest from worldly toils and reinvigoration of one's spirit. In this daily rawha, Sheikh Faraz Rabbani will be covering two texts: Imam Zarnuji's primer on the etiquette of seeking knowledge, Ta'lim al-Muta'allim Tariq al-Ta'allum, and Imam Yusuf al-Nabahani's beautiful collection of 40 sets of 40 prophetic hadith.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira. Alhamdulillah, we're continuing our look at the 40 hadith Qudsi, the 40 sacred hadiths from this collection by Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabahani, rahimahullah ta'ala. And yesterday we looked at the hadith on the Fatiha, right? The hadith Qudsi on the Fatiha, that I have divided the prayer between myself and my servant into two halves, and my servant shall have whatever they asked for. My servant shall have whatever they asked for. Wali abdi ma sa'al. And we looked at the meanings of that, right? And it's, I've divided the prayer between me and my servant, right? So the prayer is the distance of journeying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? The prayer is about closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The prayer and the Fatiha itself. What is the Fatiha? Is the opening, and what is it an opening to? It's an opening to the divine. It is an opening to closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now those who pursue this journey from between distance to presence are the elect servants of Allah, the chosen servants of Allah, the awliya, the wali, the elect servant of Allah. They say, man tawalla Allah, man tawalla Allah fatawallahu Allah, right? Is the one who chooses Allah, so Allah chooses them. That is the elect servant of Allah. They're the one who choose Allah, so Allah chooses them. The one who chooses Allah above all else, so Allah chooses them above all else. So it's not an accident that the previous hadith, the hadith 12 that we looked at on the prayer, the Fatiha, as being what is between the servant and Allah, and my servant shall have whatever they asked, right? And the 13th hadith, which we'll begin by looking at today, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال يقول الله تبارك وتعالى من أهان لي وليا فقد بارزته بالمحاربة. And so Abu Huraira relates from the Prophet ﷺ that Allah Most High says, "من أهان لي وليا فقد بارزته بالمحاربة." Whoever abases a friend of mine, a chosen servant of mine, one of the awliya, فقد بارزته بالمحاربة. I declare open. I openly declare war upon them. And mubaraza is to, you know, you take out. Baraza is for something to come forth, right? Baraza is to take something out. If you, when you unsheathe your weapon, right? So it's not just a threat of war, but it's now open war. Right? It's not just you show up for war, but now you take out your swords, now it's open battle. And فَقَدْ بَارَزْتُهُ بِالْمُحَارَبَةِ, I have now openly declared war upon them. مَنْ أَهَانَ لِي وَلِيًّا, whoever, أَهَانَ, whoever denigrates, whoever puts down a friend of mine. Because putting them down is putting down someone who is dear to Allah. Because who is a wali? Someone who chose Allah. So Allah chose them. This is someone special to Allah. And who is Allah? Allah is the sustainer of all things. So the whole purpose of creation, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, I have not created jinn nor humans except that they may submit to me, that they may worship me, that they may choose me. So the purpose of creation is fulfilled truly only by the awliya of Allah. Right? Creation has a purpose. Creation has a potential purpose, and it has a fulfillment of that purpose. Who fulfills the purpose of creation? Those who choose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are levels of choosing. The righteous, there's those who are good servants of Allah, there's righteous servants, there's virtuous servants, there's the foremost servants. And to the degree of their choosing Allah, they are more special. Right? And there are signs of this. سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِمْ, their signs are upon them. Right? So, what is the message there? There are several messages. One is, strive to become one of the friends of Allah. And number two, be careful about the rights of others because you don't know who is a friend of Allah and how they are special to Allah. نَسَلُ اللَّهُ الْعَافِيَةِ. But this also tells us Allah does have special friends. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does have special friends. So he says, وَمَا تَرَدَّدُّ فِي شَيْءٍ أَنَا فَاعِلُهُ تَرَدُّدِي فِي قَبْضِ نَفْسِ عَبْدِي الْمُؤْمِنِ يَكْرَهُ الْمَوْتَ وَنَا أَكْرَهُ مَسَاءَتَهُ وَلَا بُدَّ لَهُ مِنْهُ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this hadith Qudsi, I do not hesitate regarding anything that I do, as I hesitate in taking the soul of a believing servant of mine who naturally dislikes death, and I dislike displeasing them. But there's no way out for them from it, because the human being has been created as a perishing being. The human being hasn't been created for this dunya. Right? The human being is a lasting soul and a perishing body. The body must perish. But the human was not created for this dunya. The human, أَنْتَ بِالْرُوحِ لَا بِالْجِسْمِ إِنسَانُ, as Imam Ash-Shafi'i said in famous lines of poetry, you are by your soul, not your body, human. Okay? So the body must come to die. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I do not hesitate. Now what is the taraddud of Allah? Right? This is a facilitative expression. Right? To approximate for us meanings that are beyond our comprehension. That if I were to hesitate, that's one way Allah's, if I were to hesitate in anything that I did, I would have hesitated in this. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is transcendent beyond hesitation. Why? Because time does not relate to Allah. There's no if and then with respect to Allah. Right? Allah is the Lord of time, and He is transcendent beyond being limited by time. Time relates to creation, it does not relate to the Creator. So if I did hesitate, if I were to hesitate, I would hesitate about nothing like what I would hesitate about this. The other is that Allah wills it despite this not being something that is pleasing to Him. That Allah's will comes to pass on certain matters even though they're not pleasing to Him. So the ulama understood as a what's called isharatun nas, the indication of the text from this, the fact that Allah's will is distinct from His good pleasure. Which is something that's discussed in theology. There's a difference between irada, right? His will and his rida and his good pleasure. Allah may will something and destine it despite it being not in accordance with what is pleasing to him, right? And vice versa. But it also tells us that who attains, who has the inayah, who has the particular concern of Allah, it is those who choose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I dislike displeasing them. I dislike displeasing these servants. And we know from many other hadiths, from the Quran, about the awliya of Allah, right? That لهم البشرى في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة. Theirs is the glad tidings in this life and in the next. Right? That these are people whose لَإِن سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّ. If they ask me, I shall indeed grant them. Right? وَلَإِن اسْتَعَاذَ بِي لَأُعِذَنَّ. And if they seek protection in me, I will surely grant them protection. So this hadith is related by Imam Bukhari, and there's a number of related narrations of this hadith, right? Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned this a number of different times. Okay, so other narrations of it mention the drawing closer to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and the path of drawing closer, which is the next hadith, right? It's similar. And this has come in Sahih al-Bukhari, interesting, this narration and the next one which we'll look at right now, in the chapter on humility. The chapter on humility. Which is very interesting. What does wilaya, what does having enmity to the friends of Allah and humility have in common? Under Bab al-Tawadu', the chapter on humility. And they say there's several things. You do not become a friend of Allah, one of the awliya, except by having the quality of humility. You're humble with the truth in your relationship with Allah and in your relating to people. Right, that's a key. Tawadu'. مَن تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. Whoever humbles themselves for the sake of Allah, Allah exalts. And also humility with Allah entails recognizing the good of others and having a good opinion of others, and being free of ill feeling towards Allah's creation. Right? So this is why this is mentioned under humility. The 14th hadith, which is related to this, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول الله تعالى من عاد لي وليا فقد آذنته بالحرب. So in the similar hadith, Allah Most High says, whoever shows enmity to a friend of mine, to one of the awliya, I have truly declared war upon them. And we've talked about this part. So do not beware of speaking ill of anyone who has any relationship with Allah. At any level. And the umum al-wilaya is for anyone who believes in Allah. But also of someone who will believe in Allah, and you don't know who they are. Right? The ulama say, Sayyidina Umar was beloved to Allah, even when he was going to attack his, to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mecca. Why? Because Allah's judgment of people is according to their endings, and you don't know what those are. But how does one become of the awliya of Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the same hadith, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَدْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. My servant draws close to me by nothing more beloved to me than what I have made incumbent upon them. Right? وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهِ. And my servant continues to draw close to me through voluntary works, that which is above and beyond the obligatory, until I love them. So from this we see that what is the purpose of our actions? Right? Our actions are divided into what is obligatory and into what is voluntary. What we Allah has obligated us to do and what He has given us choice, which is the nafil. The meaning behind any of these acts is taqarrub ila Allah, is drawing closer to Allah. Right? That is what the servant seeks, the presence of their master. Moved by what? Why are you seeking closeness? Because the relationship of between the servant and the merciful master is love. My servant draws close to me by nothing more beloved to me than what I have made obligatory upon them. What is the servant seeking? They're seeking the love of Allah. My servant draws close to me by nothing more beloved to me. Right? So the servant is moved by the love, by not so much loving their Lord, but to be beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And my servant continues to draw close to me by voluntary works until I do love them. So you draw close by the obligatory, but attainment of love is through proving true in that love, by going above and beyond. And it's not just to fulfill one's commitments, that's expected of you. And that's the most important thing, is to fulfill commitments, what Allah has made obligatory upon you, but whether in acts of worship or in all other limits, either imposed or undertaken. And one of the meanings there, the ulama tell us, is one, as much as one can, one should be moved by fulfillment of obligation. Right? Whatever one does in acts of worship, but also in one's in the mundane intention, in the mundane matters, the most important type of intention to make in it is an intention that is fulfilling an obligation. So when you go to sleep, right, you can say, I'm going to sleep. So you make some dua. But what are obligations related to sleep? Giving your body its due. You know, fulfilling the rights of your body, seeing your body as an amana from Allah that you are entrusted with, right? To have the strength to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have a strength to fulfill your worldly obligations, etc. So the intentions that relate to obligation. You go to work, you say, well, I want to earn a lawful living. That's good. But you relate your intentions to obligations. I want to provide for my family from the halal. I want to stay within the limits of Allah. I want, you know, so you think of all the intentions that relate to obligations in your relationship with Allah and obligations that you've been entrusted with in life. That is why, those are the most powerful. Why? Because my servant draws close to me and by nothing more beloved than what I have made incumbent upon them. And then the intentions that are above and beyond that and the actions that are above and beyond that are the key to love. So from this, The ulama, one of the subtle things that they point out in this hadith is the obligations relate not just to how many things you do, but to magnify the intentions related to the obligatory in anything that you do. Right? Present or future. So you're still in school. You don't have any obligations right now. But you do your study. You don't like geography or history. But say, I'm doing this as a means of fulfilling future obligations, future responsibilities. And the responsibilities and obligations are personal and they're collective. Right? And the voluntary intentions above and beyond that. Right? The nawafil. But it also relates to extra actions. Right? Extra actions. The believer doesn't just do the minimum. They strive to do the most possible. Because that's where love is found, is in going above and beyond, right? The lover takes the extra step, right? فَإِذَا So this is, until I love them. But what is love? What is love? Right? And this is from the mercy of the final revelation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us more about Himself in the final revelation than in any previous divine revelation. فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ So when I love them, how can you understand what it means for Rabbul Alameen, for the Lord of all existence, to love someone fleeting and perishing? فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمَّعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ If I love them, I am the hearing by which they hear. وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهِ And the hearing, the basar is what? The sight by which they see. وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْطِشُ بِهَا And the hand, and I am the hand by which they strike. وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا And I am the leg by which they walk. Because this is not, it's not meant literally. The servant does not become the Lord. Right? And someone who claims literalism gets stuck. Okay, be literal here. So I can't. Good. Don't. But then commit to not being literal with other texts too. Right? If I love them, I am the hearing by which they hear, and the sight by which they see, and the hand by which they strike, and the feet by which they walk. The ulama have explained this in many different ways. Some said just say it as it is and say it is with complete transcendence and no similitude. And that's sufficient. And many of the early Muslims just preferred that. This is what is authentically related from the Prophet ﷺ. We believe in it as it has come. We don't add to the text nor subtract to it while saying that Allah is absolutely transcendent beyond any similitude. But how do we understand this? The ulama of hadith and the masters of the spiritual path explain that I am the hearing by which they hear, that the person who attains unto closeness to Allah. What is closeness to Allah? Ibn Ata'illah says, وَصُولُكَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَصُولُكَ إِلَى الْعِلْمِ بِهِ You're reaching Allah. You're reaching closeness to Allah is you're reaching experiential knowledge of Him. That تنقلب ينقلب العلم عيانا That the points of knowledge become now they're beheld in your consciousness. So you don't just affirm that I love Allah, but you behold Allah first. Right? Because that's reality. What exists first? The cup and the water in it, or the one who created the cup and the water? What comes first? The creator or the created? The creator, right? Now for us, we see the cup and we say, إِنَّمَا الْكَأْسُ وَالْحَبِيبُ وَالرَّاحِ Right? The cup and the drink, they're real. You reflect and they say, they have a creator. The creator is Allah. But where is Allah? He's distant from our consciousness. Whereas the reality is, who is more real? The creator or the creation? The creator. So closeness to Allah is being actively conscious of that reality. Not just as a mental thing. No sane human being would deny that the creator is more real than creation. That the necessary existent is the basis of the existence of that which is merely possible. All of existence is merely possible. And its origin is nothingness. How did it come into existence? Because the one who is the necessary existent, the supreme being, Allah, brings it into existence. What keeps it in existence? Allah. He is the real. The reality of everything else is a derivative, fleeting reality. So the person who attains closeness to Allah beholds Allah and the creating of Allah before their own hearing. كنت سمعه الذي يسمع به. I am the hearing by which they hear. That when they hear something, they are more conscious of their creator and sustainer, and the creator and sustainer of what they hear than of themselves and the hearing. Because Allah created you and He created the hearing. When you see something, what is more real, the wall that you see or the creator of the wall? So I am the sight by which they see, that they are conscious that Allah is sustaining you, that Allah is sustaining me, and He is sustaining that wall. So you see the wall, but you see it after you see Allah. Not, you don't see the wall, and then the fact that it's created, then the creator. That's distance from Allah. Inni qareeb, I am near. He is closer to you than your existence itself. نحن أقرب إليه من حبل الوريد. We are closer to them than their very jugular vein. And likewise, with the hand. Who is sustaining your hand? Allah. When you pick up the cup, where's the hand from? Allah is sustaining it. Who is sustaining the cup? Allah. So am I picking up the cup? Yeah. I'm tempted to throw. Anton, get up. You better catch this. So, good. Right? Who threw that? Right? The one who has any tawheed would realize that وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ لَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. The Prophet ﷺ told in the Quran, you did not throw when you threw. But rather it was Allah who threw. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ. You did not throw. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ خَلْقًا وَإِجَادًا. You did not throw in creating the throwing and in bringing into existence. When you threw, in اختياراً وكسباً, by your choice and acquisition of responsibility, لَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. But in reality, it is Allah who threw. So we affirm our choice, but it is all from Allah. The servant beholds that, the one who attains closeness. And this is the state, the lover beholds the beloved. That is love. Right? حَقِيقَةُ الْمَحَبَّةُ رُؤْيَةُ الْمَحْبُوبُ عَلَى الدَّوَامُ. The reality of love is beholding the beloved at all times. Otherwise, as one of the poets said, نَحْنُ فِي مَذْهَبِ الْغَرَامِ أَذِلَّ إِنْ أَقَمْنَا عَلَى الْحَبِيبِ أَدِلَّ. In the way of lovers, we are abased indeed. If we have to give signs of our beloved, كَيْفَ يَظْهَرُ لِلْعُقُولِ سِوَاهُ. How can any other be manifest to real intellects? وَسَنَاهُ كَسَ الْعَوَالِمَ جُمْلَةً. When their beauty clothes all creation. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّ. And if they ask me, such a servant, realized in love, they seek nothing but Allah, and they find nothing but Allah. Their consciousness is connected with their presence with Allah. If they ask me, I shall surely grant them. وَلَئِنْ اسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعِذَنَّ. And if they seek refuge in me, I shall surely grant them refuge. وَمَا تَرَدَّدْتُ فِي شَيْءٍ أَنَا فَاعِلُهُ تَرَدُّدِي فِي قَبْضِ نَفْسِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. And I do not hesitate about anything that I will do, as I hesitate in taking the soul of a believer. يَكْرَهُ الْمَوْتِ. Who dislikes death? Because they want to draw ever closer to their beloved. وَنَا أَكْرَهُ مَسَاءَتَ. And I dislike displeasing them. This is related by Imam al-Bukhari as well. Right. So this is what we wanted to look at today. Right. So this hadith tells us about that Allah has elect servants. And the path of electhood is the path of fulfilling one's obligations and then going above and beyond. But the obligations, one brings them into anything that one does, one multiplies the intentions. Right. One multiplies the intentions. And sometimes the most obvious is an obligation. Right? And it fulfills the sense of trust. So even There's obligations related to drive. Driving is a permitted act. But if you intend to drive, what are the obligations related to driving? Yeah, but more broadly, to preserve one's life and others, but more broadly, to obey the law. Why? Because أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم. Obey Allah and obey His Messenger and those in authority over you. Right? And that applies to worldly authority as well. Obeying the law is an obligation. Right? So you intend to obey the law. So it's not merely permissible. Yeah, it's purely permissible to drive. There's no intrinsic reward in driving. But if you go with the intention that you're going to obey the law, that you will, there's recommended intent. But in anything that we do, there's almost always some obligatory intentions. So your mother tells you to do something. You know, well, you've learned through reinforcement that if you don't listen, you'll be in trouble. So you do it, well, avoid harm, I'll listen. But if you intend the obligatory in it, this nurtures the meaning of amana, of trust. Right? Of trust. Right? And the believer sees everything as being a trust. But a trust from whom? A trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So that's one of the ways of wilaya. Right? They say, al-mu'min haqqani. The believer is always concerned with trusts. Right? Because all these things are obligations. So inshallah, we wanted to touch upon that. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And today we're not going to look at the adab of knowledge. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wasallam walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Thank you for listening to the Rawha, daily guidance for seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani. Help us continue to give light to millions around the world by becoming a monthly donor at seekershub.org/donate. Your donations are tax deductible in the U.S.